This morning's reading comes from the Book of Psalms, and it can be found on page 634 in the Old Testament section of the Church Bible. That's page 634 and Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everyone who has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I was first given a Bible when I was less than 2 months old. It was on the occasion when my parents took me to church to give thanks to God. At that time, I was christened, as it was known then. And whilst I've no recollection of it, I still have the Bible. It's an old translation known as the King James Version. The language is very different from that of today, and that makes it more challenging to read. But inside, there is a simple inscription to David from his godmother, 24:1-65. Now you're all working out my age. Although it's always been in my possession, that Bible has largely been forgotten. It's on my bookshelf, but rarely picked up. And so, for the most part, it's been overlooked. More than that, there were times in the past where it just didn't make sense. It was given with good intention, but for many years its words remained a mystery, far away from my life and experience. And so on the occasions when I did flick through its pages, I was none the wiser. That changed when God became real to me, when the reality of his person entered my own. Then the words of the Bible took on a different meaning. Now there was a message that spoke to me. Now came a different perspective on life. Now there was a new understanding of the world and its people. More than that, now I could see it all through the viewpoint of God, the reality of the one who set it all in motion, who has played his part in making and shaping the world, as well as all that we know. Despite that, the words of the Psalms still seemed obscure. Yes, they were written personally, but in a very different time. And yes, they address all manner of human experience. Yet what sets them apart is the advice that they give. For the Psalms not only engage with God, they place emphasis on praising God. And that is something which is often overlooked or misunderstood or even forgotten. Mention praise today, and most people would imagine that to be encouragement of some kind or other. It might be a round of applause to mark appreciation of talent or effort. It might be in recognition of celebrity status through appearance or performance. But praise, when it comes to God, is different. And there's no other psalm that makes it better known than the last, number 150. For in it and through it, we're told there's a place for God. And so the psalmist says that there's a God to be known, that this is worth celebrating, shouting hallelujah, which brings into question our views, our assumptions, and our own preconceptions. For if God is to be known, then how can we? And if God is there, what does that mean? Where does religion end and personal experience begin? And to what extent can God, or should God, be involved in our lives? The psalmist said that we should acknowledge God always and at all times, believing that he has something to say, that he has something to do, and that he will bring meaning to life, whether we are young or old. But where can that take place? The psalmist said, in the sanctuary or in heaven, telling us that God can be found in more than one place, that he can be found present in this world as well as beyond it, that he can be found always, and that he can be found where we might least expect him. The sanctuary may have related to the original tabernacle or temple, but it can also extend to all of creation, meaning that God can be known where you are and where you go. Then we're reminded that there is power and greatness beyond measure, that no one else compares to the living God, and that no one else has done what he has. Evolutionary theory may have its appeal and persuasion, yet the place for design and intelligence in creation still must be acknowledged. Added to that has come God's personal involvement. As we think of Jesus taking the shape and form of flesh and bone, living life in the world that we inhabit, and experiencing all that we might experience, only to overcome it all by returning to life like no other, making the resurrection the defining moment of all human history, ensuring that there is hope for the life that we live, and assurance of a life to come. And when all things are considered, that must merit praise. And it's then that the psalmist speaks of how that can be expressed, all based on King David, the author of so many of the Psalms, a man who knew God in the midst of all that life could bring, but who also expressed his faith with vigour, with exuberance, with delight, with proclamation, and also sometimes with sorrow and regret. And so David introduced music in worship within the tabernacle and then the Jewish temple. And in that music was a wealth of instruments as well as of sound. And in that sound was a coming together of God's presence with his people, challenging the notion that holiness must somehow equate to quietness, or that church music can only be produced in a certain way, or that sitting or standing in his presence can be our only response. God is God, make no mistake about it, but he can and will inhabit the praises of his people, even extending as far as to include all creation. creatures. And so, in this psalm, which once I did not understand, and in this book of which once I had no appreciation, God is depicted, not as a distant deity, not as a figure from history, not even as a figment of our imagination, but as one beyond us, beyond description, beyond comprehension, beyond logic and reason, yet not beyond knowing, and not beyond experiencing. For this psalm speaks of a God who knows us from the beginning, and who knows us at the end, who made us in His image, and who desires to see that image restored within, who can change us, heal us, restore us and renew us, who can cause us to turn our attention away from ourselves, who can enable us to think and act afresh, to behave anew, but most of all, to discover the power and potential of praise. For in our praise, God's presence will be. And the more His presence is known, the more we can be transformed. The more the world will be changed for good, for young and old alike, which ultimately can only prompt one response. Hallelujah. In other words, praise the Lord.